This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, and thanks for joining the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher Fish and Chips in Hull. I'm your host Nathaniel Witto, and tonight I'm joined by Joe, Will, and I believe Ant will be joining us later on as well. Reason we're doing a midweek episode is because I think we were I'm just getting distracted by a lovely new background as well, as Will pointed out before we started this. It's moving. This is really great for a podcast episode. But
As I said on Humberside the other day to James Fletcher, we didn't really do an episode the other day because we were a bit depressed.
Yeah, but we were banking on beating Rotherham, and we did. So we're here in a sort of nicer spirit. Joe, yeah, go on. You were going to say something.
I was just going to say what Will said was entirely true. We were all absolutely depressed. But Jane and Philogene has taken that. He's lifted that depression. And
well, double whammy, I think, in there of firstly Seri on the Sunday, and then last night.
Yeah. I mean, of course, we debated this about a month ago before the AFCON started, and I think, Will, I know you always wanted him to win, but for me, I wanted him to come, you know, back as quickly as possible, but I'm glad that the opposite of the worst thing would have been if he'd not played and they got to the final and then they lost.
But it got to the end of the group stage and he wasn't playing, and it was a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about this. And then Faye, who came in to replace their manager, came in, brought him straight into the team. He played almost every game and got in the team of the tournament. It's funny that, isn't it? When you play a player,
it's almost like he's a good player. You know?
He's funny, isn't it? I will always want national side players to do well in national tournaments, apart from maybe if they're Scottish. But you'd want an England, if we had a player in the England squad, you wouldn't want them to not be playing and all that, would you? So what's the difference?
I think it was just a case of the reason we thought, right, let's have him and Traore back was because both of them were sat on the bench.
Yeah.
But both of them in the knockout stages got minutes. Adama, bless him, missed the penalty against Ivory Coast. And, you know, Mika went in and was great. And Rossini said he spoke to him like before the game on Monday or Tuesday, and he said that just after he'd spoke to him, the team were on their way to the presidential palace. Which is a lie.
It's not bad. I mean, the president was hanging out with him for most of that final celebration as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's incredible, and I think shows the winning mentality.
Got there in the end.
Yeah. That he has got, and hopefully that will help us in the running. I think Rossini was talking, he might not be back for Huddersfield. I mean, I know if I'd won the Euros, I'd want to just party all week.
Yeah, I'd don't believe
in my contract just for tie on a high. But I think he's gonna.
I think if he is back, he won't be playing. He might be part of the matchday squad, but I don't think you'll see him on the pitch. I think Southampton's the one you want to be looking at for that one.
Yeah, maybe if we're desperate. But hopefully he can lead us on to winning the playoff final as well, which would be lovely. I guess we should talk about the Swansea match. I don't really know whether any of us want to.
It wasn't great. It really wasn't great. It was probably the worst we've played at home under a senior this season in the league. Maybe the worst we've ever played under a senior at home in the league. It's hard to say, but they just didn't turn up, and Swansea just had their game plan set perfectly for us. The press was just too much for City to deal with, and City never looked like... I think we could have played for another, 2 hours, 3 hours, and we probably wouldn't have scored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. I think Ant's just popped up here. I heard him on Gabe Sutton's EFL chat. He said that tactically Swansea did a job on us. Because sometimes when we go long, it's like an extra sort of tool in our repertoire, whereas we were forced to go long against Swansea. I think that was a problem. We weren't getting through them enough. But good evening, Ant. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, just spending a lot of time talking about City. So, yeah, what could be better?
Hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we were just talking about the Swansea match. I do want to talk about the Swansea match because I think I've actually found some really interesting tactical analysis. And I'd like to share my really in-depth notes on this. I've got written here for the Swansea match, bad.
Yeah. I mean,
garbage.
We move on.
Yeah. Can I just say, long ball stuff, why when we were forced to play long ball football, he chose to bring Billy Sharp on rather than Ohio and Connolly is something I don't quite understand.
I get the feeling Connolly's not fully fit, hence why he didn't appear against Swansea or against...
Yeah, I'm starting to get that feeling a little bit as well.
I have issues with that because if a player's not fit, then why is he on the bench? Put a player that's fit on the bench.
Came on against Swansea, didn't he?
Sellers Fleming.
A little bit of a risk.
On there.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to risk Sellers Fleming, does he, clearly? Just yet.
Yeah, I think because, of course, Haya got the winning goal against Rotherham. In retrospect, it seems like a bit of an odd decision to bring Sharp and Connolly on before Ohio, who's the only player out of those three to have scored in the last two games. But I guess Rossini can't see into the future.
Sharp's been unlucky to not score, I think, in the chances he had in the last couple of games. He probably should have.
The chance he had against Rotherham, it's like with two fans, one against Swansea, he puts that header either side of the keeper.
Anywhere else, yeah.
But it just so happened that both of them, in those close-range opportunities, just managed to head it straight at the keeper.
Two fans shouldn't have headed it. He should have brought it down and shot. He had loads of time.
He didn't know how much time he had. I think he obviously thought there was a defender on him, and that's why he went for the header.
Yeah. I feel like maybe he thought he was offside as well, because I thought initially he could have been offside. But I think that was a big chance that we didn't take. But Swansea match, it wasn't like Millwall where we had a good period and then dropped off. We started slow. They got the goal. And then from there, just didn't really create anything of note, except maybe that two-fan chance. But So I'm going to rely on you three to sort of talk through what the actual performance was like against Rotherham. I was too busy watching the 10th anniversary showing of Interstellar. So the only experience I had of the result was seeing the result at the very end. I've seen the highlights, but...
You plastic fan.
Shows Interstellar over all City.
To
all our viewers, us at the To Hull and Back podcast do not condone the actions of Nathaniel Lingham.
It's Christopher Nolan. It's a good film. And I in my defence, even though it is pretty much inexcusable, I'd arranged to go to this a while ago and I'd forgotten that the whole match was last night. It would have been last night. You might be listening on a different day. But today is Wednesday and we played on Tuesday, I think.
Yes, yeah. That's how the days of the week is going.
Look, I'm not wrong, am I? It's just, I just want to ask, interesting.
I just want to ask, who was Who's Stella, and since when did Stella play for Inter?
Humour. Very good. That's...
oh, my God.
Yeah, shocking. Shocking, really. But, so... And
you have to get one in.
Yeah, let's move on to the football again. Get back on track. And you were pretty negative at half time. Why? Because I haven't seen it.
The thing is with us at the minute, right? Let's clear a few things up. We've won 3 out of 4, so on paper it's crazy. But if you think back, entirely it's 6 wins from 15, I think it is. And we haven't really played really well since November-ish. I think that we seem to have regressed and slowed down the style of play for some reason. I don't know if he's because of the goals we were conceding, he's tried to be a bit more cautious. But it's like I just said to Gabe, it's weird because the blueprint of the system is correct, and I fully 100% think Rosini is the correct manager. I don't think that we should even contemplate ever getting rid of Rosini. Let's get that out of the way first. But the only thing that I think needs to happen is that the style of play at the minute is just too slow. And how many times on an episode of this have we come on here and said, we started too slow, we play too slow, the passing is too slow, movement off the ball is too slow, we are too slow. With the players we've got, the attacking talent we've got, we have to speed it up. That's the only tweak I'd make to the system. Yeah, play out from the back, fine, I'm not bothered. It just needs to be faster. Up the intensity, up the tempo. Movement off the ball needs to be better, because at the minute, we're just allowing teams. We've been figured out, right? It's pretty simple now. Teams know if they press to a point where they're just over the halfway line and then cut the passing lanes, we've got nothing, because we can't go long. Well, we couldn't against Rotherham because we've got 38-year-old Billy Sharp up there who's not going to run in behind. So our only option is to try and play out. And we can't do that because they're man-marked. They've doubled up on Philogene. We can't get the ball out of our own half because they've cut the passing lanes. And then we struggle. We struggle to create things. We get put under pressure. We make sloppy passes, mistakes. Fans get annoyed. And it's just sort of this little carousel we found ourselves in where we're the victims of our own problems at the minute. And I just feel like we need to try and force the issue more. We've got some phenomenal attacking players. Use them. Take more risks. Take killer balls. Take the shackles off and just say, go out there and play with a bit more freedom and expressionism, because at the minute we're playing the way teams want us to. I mean, for the best part of 30 minutes against Rotherham, this is a side that's won 3 games all season, 1 in 18, and they were winning everything, second battles, individual battles. They wanted it more. The desire was more. Our players were far behind it, and it was worrying. So, firstly, first half criticism. Justified. Second half, much improved. Positive changes, tweaked the system, up to the intensity. That's exactly what we wanted to see. And he did it. So kudos to him. But we just need to find a way to start like that and keep it consistent over 90 minutes game by game, because at the minute, consistency is the biggest problem. We just seem to like have moments in games, phases in games where we're the better side. And if we take a chance, we then can win a game. But as we've seen this season, taking chances and that product, that final ball, has been our biggest problem. So for me, it's just be a bit more creative, up the intensity. I think that's the only thing we need to change, and we're there. But I think Seri's big miss, so we'll see. Probably our first full-strength side in God knows how long when Seri comes back on weekend. I imagine he goes straight in.
Minus
I don't think he'll start against Huddersfield. I think he'll be waiting for Southampton.
Yeah, obviously minus Dalap. But I said to Gabe, I think Dalap's been our biggest miss. I honestly think...
I agree. I think Dalap will look back and think Liam Dalap will be a bigger miss than Philogene. I think it's tight between him and Seri, but I certainly think he's a bigger miss than Philogene, just because he's just got that presence about him, and he does, like, because of his physicality and because of his pace as well. I just think he scares defenders
because he's a focal point. What Dalap offers us, which is none of the other strikers. I mean, a higher might. We know we're not seeing him start yet, but none of the other strikers can do what he does in terms of the fact that we, like we say, if a side presses us high and cuts the passing lanes, we try to go long. Dalap was good at holding it up, and then he dropped deeper, but he would carry the ball. He would literally carry the ball himself, run at the back four, and create space for the likes of Philogene and that to do damage. Without Delap, we don't really have any other strikers that do that. Connolly wants to be in behind. Sharp wants the ball at his feet, and we struggle to do that at the minute, like we say, because teams are cutting that route. And Ohio looks like he's similar to Sharp in the sense of he always wants to be on the shoulder of the defender. So with Delap, he was a more all-round striker. So he gives us that physicality, like you say. He was stronger, held the ball up well, but he also ran the channels, stretched defences, created space for the other players. And you're thinking, if we'd have had Delap with the Zoroaris and the Cavaliers and the Philogenes and the space that he would create them players, we'd be absolutely phenomenal. So it's such a shame that we haven't got Delap. But I do think that, obviously, it's tough at the minute because it's a little bit frustrating because you feel like we could probably be in a better position than we are, which is mad considering we're leveling points with the top six. But when these new players get a real connection going with the rest of the team and an understanding of the system, I think we'll be on fire. But we've just got to kind of find a way to up those performance levels at the minute for me. I just think that something's not quite there, but we're still grinding out results, which is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perhaps we're just relying on a bit of individual brilliance. I mean, that's how we got the win against Volderham with Philogene, and he scored the goal against Millwall. Joe, do you think that the trick is just to sort of Vecinia find a way of releasing those attacking players, sort of letting them loose?
Well, I think that comes back a little bit to what Ant was saying about the pace of it. And like you know, I echo what Ant said, there's absolutely no way that anyone in this fan base should be Rossini out. I think if you're Rossini out, sorry if there are any of you who think that way, but I think I question why, because we're in such a great position in the league. But it just needs to be a little bit quicker. The Swansea game highlighted that perfectly, where when they had the ball, they were moving it so much quicker and we were a lot more sort of laboured, and that allowed Swansea to recover. And because of that, when we got deep into their half and we did stop, we did, you know, pause for a couple of seconds, we couldn't exploit those gaps that they created by doubling up on Philogene, Zaruri, Cavalier, those sorts of players. I think the individual brilliance side of things, it's great when you've got it, and I think we're still yet to see the best of what Cavalier's got to offer. Zaruri, I thought first half Zaruri was effective. He had a lot of the ball, but then the second half, I thought he was terrible, to be honest with you. I think that free kick, Ant, what was it like in the stands when he put that free kick into the side netting when he had Morton and Slater free on the edge from the tightest angle?
I just no idea why he chose to do that. No idea. I mean, it's similar to the short corners. Four or five short corners we did in that game. I can't understand it.
I would argue it wasn't even the most ridiculous decision anyone made on the pitch, but the one that was ended up with a girl.
Yeah. Did you know what? It was funny. I was just talking to Gabe about that. I mean, if that Roberta had just gone over the goal and off the pitch, imagine how mad everybody would have been. I mean, he's given the ball in the box. All he has to do is instantly square the ball, and it's 1-1. And he decides to nutmeg the defender. All right, fair play, cross it now. Cruyff turns the defender. All right, cross it now. He's still done. And then he decides to Roberta, and you're thinking, what's he doing? And then he flies into the top corner. It was crazy. But that's what Philogene does. He goes for the elaborate, the flair. He's full of confidence, and he's an arrogant player, but it works.
What he is.
Yeah. He fully backs himself all the time, and it's frightening because when you mix that kind of technical ability with that confidence and that arrogance, it creates a monster, and that's what we've got. He's amazing, isn't he?
It's good that he's not come back from injury, you know, and taken a few games to get going, because we really needed him back fully fit. And, you know, he's got two goals in three games now. No one really played well against Swansea, but Rotherham and Millwall, he's played really well.
He really hates Rotherham, doesn't he? He really
hates Rotherham. Mm. Proper hater behaviour from...
What's scored nothing but bangers against them. Absolutely.
Yeah. Puskás Award winner 2024. It's gotta be.
It's a well, isn't it?
No. We've given it to Philogen. I've gone on the whole City, you know, scorer charts on my phone, on my notes, and I've given him the goal. I know the EFL have as well, but, I mean, even if, you know, it wasn't accredited to him, we all know that he's the reason why that goal happened, and that's essentially the same thing. He'll take the confidence from that. And just the... Because it's not just the technical skill, but it's just the arrogance he plays with. That's just incredible to try that. It's amazing. You know, probably best technical player we've had, bar a few, certainly in the Championship, I'd say. I know JJ Okocha was good, but he was at the end of his career.
Technically, I'd still say JJ is still the peak in terms of technical players. But
Philogene's
we had him at the end of his career, and we've got Philogene right at the start of his.
Yeah. How much is he worth now? Because the buyback clause for Villa is 75 billion. Okay, so I don't think that's true. Ant, how much is Jadon Philogene worth in money?
I think if you look at the current rate for young, exciting wingers that are being touted to go to the Premier League, Plymouth want at least 30 million, I think they said, for Whittaker.
30? Yeah.
No.
How much did Wharton go to Blackburn to the Prem?
22 million, but he's a midfielder. Yeah. I don't know if that changes transfer values.
Trying to be young English sort of.
Yeah, Philogene.
Yeah, obviously there's English tax on him, so obviously he's going to be worth more in that sense. His goal contributions this season, goals and assists are up there. So I think there's so many variables into a transfer fee because it's like age, contract length, form, statistics, all that kind of stuff. But for us, and how important he is to the side, you would probably be looking at least 25, 30 million, wouldn't you? Let's be honest.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean,
and that's sort of the luxury we're in, that if, you know, we'll bring it back around to FFP again because everyone's an expert on that. And
The world was ending a few days ago, from what I remember.
look, if we are in a position where we need to sell to buy, then, you know, we can get minimum 15 million for Jadon Philogene, whether we're in the Premier League or not, right?
Yeah.
And if we're not in the
Premier League, that's it there straight away.
And if we're probably not in the Premier League, that probably puts us in a stronger position in terms of negotiating, because Villa haven't immediately got that, right, 15 mil, you've got to give us him. Easy. You know, he's still got, when's his contract? His contract's summer 26 with a 1 year extension. So we're no rush to sell. But if we need to sell, we're in such a strong position because, like you say, Ant, the market's, we can command so much for him. I think we sold Bowen for, when, how much did we sell Bowen for? Was it 18?
It was 18 initially with add-ons up to 25, 26, depending on goals, international appearances, all that kind of stuff. I think it eventually ended up being about 24.
And Keno
was that 15?
It was 16 with add-ons up to 20, I think. But yeah, he's definitely not done those add-ons yet.
So I think we can get more than that for him. I think he's definitely worth more than that. But is he a better player than when Jared Bowen left us? Than Jared Bowen was when he left us?
No, but the market's moved on for years, hasn't it? So he's probably worth double.
But the thing with Bowen was is that over the course of three seasons, he improved and got better. And his goal tally for a winger was almost 1 in 2. Which is even absurd for a striker. So his transfer value was fully merited at the time because he was unreal. Whereas Philogene, obviously, this is really his first really decent season where he's coming into his own. And I think Premier League clubs with players this young want to keep an eye on them first to see if they can keep that kind of performance level consistent and improve year on year like Bowen did. Like they're probably doing with Greaves, let's be honest. I feel like a lot of Premier League sides have been watching Greaves for the last few years and going, is he getting better? Is his decision-making getting better? Is he on the ball? Is he getting better? And then make their mind up based on that. I think we're going to have a flurry of bids for Greaves in summer, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, either way, we're getting 25 million plus for Philogene or having him for another year, which I think, you know, both of those are good. We'd rather have him. give us a good chance, because he'll be the best, pretty much the best winger we can get. But yeah, I mean, he just seems to keep getting better and better, and we need him to stay fit, because I think, you know, he's a match winner, as we saw. As we've mentioned, Noah Ohio got his first goal for the club. Nice swept finish. First assist from Giles as well. He's got to start against Huddersfield, right?
It's not a Giles.
Yeah.
Assist.
No idea why.
How? How? That's a stupid as saying that Fuller Jean's goal deflected off someone else.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It is. It's a ridiculous notion that he didn't get an assist there. It really is.
Crazy.
When Giles was going forward, he was superb, which is why we brought him in, really, because he looked 21 goal assists before this season in the last two seasons. He's just had two already.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Ohio's got a start against Huddersfield, hasn't he? Considering Sharp starting, I don't know whether that's a great thing with his sort of age. And then Connolly probably isn't fit enough. But, you know, I think we want to see what sort of player he is for, you know, 60, 70 minutes, don't we? And he'll have taken a huge amount of confidence from that. But and he's got his first goal of the season for anyone. So I think that's very important. But I mean, we're talking about the way that we're performing. Ohio in to start over Sharp, I'd say. Is there anything else changes-wise we would make for the Huddersfield match? Or is it just sort of trying to get that impetus going earlier in the game?
I don't know. I kind of would be tempted to start Omer or Tufan above Cavalier. I think the last couple of games, Fabio's looked...
Tufan had a big impact on Phil Jean's goal.
I don't know. Cavalier, to me, doesn't look fully match fit yet. I feel like we're starting him because Liverpool have told us he's got to play if he comes here. But I've not been convinced of him in the last couple of games. I thought Rotherham, he really struggled with the physicality. Huddersfield's going to be another game where they're going to try and make it absolutely horrible for him. I would personally probably start Tufan off. I was quite disappointed we didn't see Omer. But I think because we scored the two goals in such quick succession, he decided to go with safety and brought on, obviously, Dock and Jacob instead. But I like the look of Omer. I'd like to see what he offers. But probably Tufan for Cavalier and Ohio for Sharp would be the changes I make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Emer's probably... I don't know whether he's fit enough to start. I think maybe he's only going to play off the bench in the home games if Rossini wants to sort of protect him with the physicality of, you know, especially a Yorkshire derby on Saturday. But, I mean, we all know what going to Huddersfield is like. We've not won there in, was it 11 years now? Or was it, 2013, so 11 years. It's going to be a very tough game. I don't really have much else to say, to be honest, about the Rotherham match. Just, it was very stressful thinking about what the result was going to be.
Plastic.
No, but I mean, it seems like we had a few better set pieces. I mean, Greaves had two chances to score from headers, one from Giles, one from Zaruri crossed in. So set pieces have been a problem, but Giles and Zaruri maybe potentially are going to be slightly better. That's another positive to take. Don't all answer at once.
We can only get better. I think the fact that we've won 3 out of 4 games, we're still leveling points for the top six, and I think we're nowhere near the potential of the side, is telling. Like, slight tweaks to the system, players obviously getting to know each other better and forming connections, Seri back in the side. Let's see what we're all about and where we go, because realistically, we've got players there that can definitely make a charge for the top six. And I think this is it now, where we can say, you know, play, top six is the aim. Let's be honest. They've said to Rosinha, do you want to go for it? Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. So let's try and enjoy it. I know it hurts when we start games like we did against Rotherham. It's so painful. But like we say, I think results at this point of the season is probably more important than performances. But you just can't help but worry sometimes when it's so consistently over a run of games where there's something missing and we don't quite address it. But we'll get there. We will get there. Mm-hmm.
One other thing to mention, just talking about the way we started the game with the Rotherham goal, seeing some fans say Allsop should have done better for the goal, but he's already committed and he deflected it out of the way. I thought that would have been very harsh to say he should have.
I mean, I was directly behind the goal and it looks like it goes through him, but I think when you fully commit your body one direction and the ball goes another, it's really hard to contort yourself to stop it. So I mean, that's probably a bit harsh, but people are probably just looking for an excuse to chuck Panda in goal, let's be honest.
100% people who are already on the back of Allsop will look for anything to try and get some over on him. It's how football social media is at this point.
I want to see Panda, but that goal wasn't Allsop's fault. No way at all was Allsop's fault.
Made a good save just after that from one of the headers at the near post as well.
He did.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue City really could have won quite comfortably, because Johansson had as you'd expect from probably the best keeper in the league, arguably, had a great game and made some good saves. City really should have scored some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd agree with that. So, as we've mentioned, Huddersfield, they're currently winning against Sunderland. I don't know what the result's going to end with, but they've definitely picked up
the last few games. Southampton 2-0 and 3-1. Last week.
Mm. And then 4-0 against Sheffield Wednesday. So they've definitely picked up. That's going to be a much tougher game, despite them being 21st in the table. Going to be infinitely better. I mean, they've got pretty much double the amount of points Rotherham do. I mean, as we said, 11 years since we won in Huddersfield, surely we're due one. And I think it would be, with the way they're going, it could be maybe not the best game for us, because we're sort of grinding out results, but we're really going to need a properly good performance to either grind one out against them or maybe score, just try and outscore them, because they've got 3 goals against Southampton, 4 against Sheffield Wednesday. So, Joe, how do you see this one going? Will we finally break the Huddersfield away hoodoo?
Well, I've been to Huddersfield 3 times. I've seen a 2-0 loss, a 2-0 loss, and a 2-0 loss. I think, off the top of
my head. Did you go under McCann? McCann was 3-0.
No, I didn't go under McCann. I went last season, season before last, and 2015-16, which I think...
That was 2-2.
Was it 2-2? Oh, I apologise. Well, I've still... My point still stands. I've not seen us win. So, no. I'm not going to try and break that duck for us all. As long as it's a better game to watch, from afar, than the Darren Moore anti-football that was.
That was bad.
Yeah, they're probably a little bit more sort of, they have a lot more confidence.
I would argue they're a better side now than they were then.
They must be. I mean, you're not going to score 4 goals against anyone just lumping the ball up the pitch like they did, but easy 3-0 win? I mean, I'd like that, but the performances haven't been good enough to do that, surely. So I'm quite scared about the match myself.
Of course we're going to win 3-0. And Ant as well, us two are old enough to remember when we beat Huddersfield at their place.
I'm old enough to remember when we beat
Huddersfield. You're not 4, what about?
I remember George Boyd scoring. I do.
You just watch the YouTube video later on. Don't fool yourself.
My Huddersfield hoodoo goes all the way back to the Peter Taylor League One season in which we got absolutely rallied 4-0.
Oh.
And ever since then, I go and we lose 2-3-0 every single time, play absolutely dire. And I say, I'm never going again. And then the next season comes around and here I am again going on the weekend. So, listen, if we beat Huddersfield, the last time we won there, we got promoted. So it's an omen. If we win there on the weekend, then it's happening, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It's one of those
in the same way that
points of the season, isn't it? Like a milestone to break that, you know, duck.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously that's how football works. If we win at Huddersfield this weekend, we'll get promoted. So
in the same way that we're going to the Premier League because we got promoted in 08 and 16.
And because 8 times tables.
Because 8 times tables and...
Years.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that great Premier League season in 2001, just after we got promoted. That was great. I guess it's got to start somewhere, hasn't it? It's got to start somewhere.
Are you an Ipswich fan?
Did Ipswich get promoted in 2000? I guess it must have done if you're saying that. But I feel like maybe it's midweek. We're just a bit tired. I mean, I've had a busy day at work, so I think we need a bit of motivation. Carry on. So it's the time for the best part of the podcast. It's the combined lineup. Again, before you insult me, I need to read it out for the
There should be a audio listeners. There. Let's be quite honest.
Well, I'll try and explain myself.
To them this weekend, there should be 11 Hull City players in this list.
Okay, bear with me. Ryan Alsop in goal. Giles Greaves, Jones Carl, Seri Morton, Philogene, Durr. Sorba Thomas, something or other, Karoma. And then Josh. Noah Ahio up front. So, Josh Crow.
It's not even a complicated name, it's Josh.
I'd forgotten. It's not that I can't pronounce Josh. I can now, anyway. I never used to.
I would argue Greaves, to be as good as Greaves has been, Jones has been better, but their top scorer is Helic, who's a centre back, and he scored 8 goals, and you've not got him in the team.
True, but defensively,
he scored as many as Aaron Connolly this season. He's a centre back.
They're suspect.
That's kind of not what he's in the team for, though, is it?
He scored 8 goals. I don't care for what he's in the team for. He scored 8. He's their top scorer, and he's a centre back.
How many goals has he conceded as a centre back?
He's got 8 and 30. He's got the same rate as our strikers.
Full disclosure, I forgot. I can add in Helic for Greaves there. That's
Helic's injured. There's
Tigers on tops coming with the vindication.
Saves Nathaniel. Saved by the bell.
Yes. But Sorba Thomas deserves to be in there. He's got a goal and assist against Southampton and Sheffield Wednesday the match before.
I would go for Thomas in summer.
I think he's a decent player. I think Karoma, again, he scored a brace against Sheffield Wednesday, including a very embarrassing one for Huddersfield. Well, an embarrassing goal scored by Huddersfield against Sheffield Wednesday in the last minute where Sheffield Wednesday's defence just completely fell apart. But, 9 whole players in there, it's not so bad. And they're in better form. I mean, they may well still lose about 10-1 today. Probably not, but anything is possible in the second half. I'm personally a little spooked, but I'm hoping for another one of those sort of really important, rugged performances that we showed against Sunderland, and hopefully we've just got the quality in Philogene, Zaruri, Cavalli, these sort of players. Maybe Ohio's going to go on a goal-scoring run, so get the 3 points. But Will, you're going easy 3-0 win?
Always. You know the score by now. I predict 3-0 every damn week.
Yeah. I mean, it's still doing...
I'm doing quite well in our prediction league.
Yeah. I'm sort of dropping down a bit. I think I'm fourth at the moment, but I've got another point for the Rotherham win. I think I said 1-0. Ant, Huddersfield away. I know you hate Huddersfield. I know we beat them at home last year, so the double over them would be lovely.
He's hoping we do a Mansfield over him.
9-2.
I really want to predict to win.
Predict one then.
But
pretty simple.
Away and we just don't win there. No, I'm going for a 1-1 draw because I just think that with the current performance levels and the fact that it's Huddersfield, but I don't want to predict us to lose. So yeah, 1-1 draw.
I mean, that is probably quite sensible, but I cannot condone it. Joe?
2-0 win.
2-0 win. Solid, solid. Now, the last time we played away to Yorkshire team, quite low down the table, that play in blue and white stripes, and I predicted a massive hole win. I got lots of abuse on Twitter. So I think I'm not going to learn from my mistake. I'm going to do the exact same thing. I don't know how many Huddersfield fans are going to do this, but get this clipped up, put it on Twitter so I get all the abuse. I'm going to go 6-0. Yeah. I don't care anymore. 6-0. It's a hole.
Well, we're definitely not.
I would love now. That.
Clip it now.
Clip we're not it. Ready now.
Get it clipped up. But yeah, I think if we don't have anything else to mention,
I don't think we talked about Philip Jean's girl enough, to be quite honest.
Oh yeah, okay. So really? I mean, immediately, got to mention it was almost a great goal from Ryan Giles. Great volley, hit the bar, yeah. And then good pressing from Tufan. Awful decision from Rathbone not to just lump it up the pitch.
What was crazy? Because not only did he get that poor clearance, Philip Jean then murdered his career.
Yeah, like 3 times in 5 seconds. I mean, immediately the decision to not cross it to Ohio, a bit surprising, but then the nutmeg is incredible.
I went with Jimmy. Jimmy was stood right next to me, and he was actually raging because Philip Jean didn't cross the ball.
Yeah,
so he was stood there. Well, he was like just go. Everyone as City like, normally do, we just don't cross the ball, do we? We frustratingly do not put the ball in the box, and it was just one of those moments where you're thinking, what are you doing? You're up, you're literally on the edge of the 6-yard box, put it in the middle so someone can tap it in, and he was just dilly-dallying about, and then because my view from right behind the goal, literally the ball just comes across, and it looked like it was going wide, but it kind of like hit the inside of the post, and it went in.
Yeah.
And it was like, Jimmy was like, what are you doing? Cross the ball. Yeah!
If you're expecting one person in that team to not cross, it's Jaden Philogene, because that man can. I'm pretty certain it's a shot because the man refuses to cross.
Do we think he actually meant it, or if it was a cross?
Because he refuses to cross it, and he's the most arrogant footballer possible. Of course, but I said
to Gabe, I think he's meant it, because if he was going to cross it, he would have done it before all of the.
Was it? We know what he's like.
To take on the defender, just put it in the box, wouldn't he?
We know that he can be very, I'll do it all myself. But a lot of the time, he'll often not pass it to try and do everything himself. And a lot of other fans of other teams won't know that, really. So that's, as soon as he did it, I was like, I can't believe he's got the balls to even think of doing that. Mm.
Imagine if it just like went over though, or something.
Assist, does he? No, I mean, he'd get lambasted, and he didn't play that well against Swansea either. But we're not in that, you know, alternate reality. I'm really mixing up my words a lot today, but Philogene was incredible. Great goal, Puskás Award winner, nailed in.
I was in the own goal club to start with. I saw the deflection and thought, right, that's not his. But I've seen other angles since I saw it live on Sky Red Button with one shot of it. And now I am converted. And if the EFL say it, I trust that. Weirdly, I trust the EFL on this one.
Yeah, it's a weird play. It's like the horrible person you know just made a great point. that one angle from the side that someone took it from the crowd, right? It's like clearly you can see the deflection on that one. I think you can't really still tell if that's going wide or not, because the perspective's a little bit out of whack on it. You can't see exactly how far away the far post is on that video. So I do think it is still just creeping in off the post, but it hitting the defender made sure it went
I mean, it could have taken a sudden gust of wind and gone in. Who knows?
Either way, it doesn't matter. The NHL's given it, so people should stop crying.
Yeah. It's either officially given or it's not officially given, and it's been officially given, so it's a goal. It's just how it works, and
not
be winning. Yeah. Your
not a bad few days, like say with that last night and Seri being the first City international to win Summit. Not too bad. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Well, here's hoping that we have another excellent week. I think we'll be talking it after the Huddersfield game as well. Then tricky game away to Southampton. That's our game in hand.
But they finally lost this week to Bristol, which means...
And they conceded 3 to Huddersfield.
We might have a chance. Because if we'd gone there while we were still unbeaten, I'd have been concerned. Like when we was initially going to be going there, I was like, oh no. I don't want to go without right
for the gene, and we didn't have any of the new signings.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been a bad time to go there, but now I'm a lot more confident going there. I mean, it's still going to be a very tough game, but it's definitely, and they have to play West Brom a couple of days before us as well, and that's going to be a tough game for them.
Easy win, I reckon. Easy win, 7-0 for that
one. 3-0, obviously.
3-0, 7, whatever. Lots of numbers. I'm in a nil, I reckon. But thank you to everyone who's left lots of rude comments in, especially the Facebook chat, as we were seeing earlier. We really appreciate any sort of engagement, and I hope you appreciate the name of this episode. There's no double entendre or anything in there. It's just a really good goal. That's definitely what that means. So.
I can clip it.
What would you like? I'm not saying it. I know it was my idea in the chat to name it, but I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
Games won't even say the title of the show he's on. Despicable.
Awful.
Yeah, you kind of have to. If it was your idea, you backed yourself into the corner there.
I'm sort of ashamed, to be honest. Plus, I have the end stream option right here, but I think this episode, Big Raging Rabona, has been a fantastic success. So, Will, Joe, Ant, good job tonight, and we'll be back after our delightful 6-0 win against Huddersfield at the weekend. So, ta-ta, everyone.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.